Hello, everyone. It has been a week. A really busy Wednesday, followed by a really busy Thursday, focused on Stadia exclusively. And we're just going to jump right into Android 11 Beta 1. It was a bit of a quiet release. They just did a blog post, since they didn't have the benefit of Android 11, the beta show, or Google I.O., understandably, on both accounts. But let's dive right into Android Beta 1. It's pretty good in terms of stability. All three of us have been using it. I know Ben has it as his daily driver on the Pixel 4, am I right?
Yeah, I installed it yesterday after going through everything on Wednesday. And it's been fine. The only bug I noticed was today my haptics stopped working for everything, but I rebooted and now they're fine.
That's a very beta bug to have.
No doubt.
How about you, Kyle? Pixel 3?
No, I've been keeping it on the spare cracked Pixel 3 XL.
Gotcha.
I'm not ready to surrender to the will of the beta.
Live on the edge. So yeah, stability wise, like, there's no weird video issues. My phone isn't randomly getting hot, which I think happened last time for one of the cycles, for one of the releases. So in terms of that, it's stable. You can get a lot done day to day, but probably for most people, until Google Pay becomes available, it's probably not worth it for them. But Ben, you heard something this afternoon.
Yeah, Google confirmed to us that Google Pay will start working on Android 11 Beta 1 soon, which is very purposely non-descriptive. I guess it technically should have been working from the start, and just for some reason it's not. But
and yet, it feels
they
like
said it should be working.
It feels like the inverse happened, though. For a lot of people, it was working at the start and then stopped.
Yeah.
So that's confusing.
Which it makes sense that was the case, because our comment section went back and forth on people having it work, people not having it work. So.
Indeed. What else are you liking so far? What is your one big feature of Beta 1?
The power menu, the home controls.
The power menu.
It's so good.
I wish I had enough things to justify it, you know?
I have smart lights in every room in my apartment. I don't have them for everything in the apartment, but I have some in every room, and just being able to quickly, you know, it takes 2 seconds to load it. It's faster than going into the app, and I can just tap when I want. It's been great.
Oh, that's like, true. You don't even need to unlock to access it, huh?
Yeah, no, that was my one. You have to unlock for it to go through, I think. I can try it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You do have to. I just tried it on my lamp.
I think you have to, but on the 4, it doesn't really matter, because by the time you've pressed the button, it's unlocked.
True.
It's true. So yeah, so lights and cameras, I think, and security cameras are really the big push for the big appeal for people right now. But what beyond those two things? I guess the thermostat is another useful thing.
Yep, something I can't wait to try out.
But I guess, are those enough for most people? Because I'm afraid that most people will just be stuck with lights, like I am, and as Kyle is. It is useful for lights by itself, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it doesn't look as cool when you only have lights. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think it will be extremely useful for the people who have like full smart home setups. And then if you just have lights, though, I think it's still the fastest way, because what I used to do was when I went into the Google Home app to do it, but this is probably half the time and it doesn't take me out of what I was doing to do it.
I'm surprised there's not media controls in there, like for if you're
cast.
Like, yeah, but if it's the passive kind of casting, like some other device is casting it, and you just happen to have the controls on your phone. I'm the one casting, or if I say, you know, Shmesh Moogle play something on Spotify.
That's true. It would be useful to have like a quick shortcut, even just to say, have this one start playing music.
Or just volume controls for the different devices would be nice.
Yeah, because it fits right into the tile. You can just swipe left and right. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's pretty flexible, so I assume they could add that pretty easily.
Yeah.
So it's the power menu. You activate it by holding down on the power menu. And this is something I noticed. Like, they're putting so much more controls into that power menu, from Google Pay to basic device controls like screenshotting and rebooting and emergency lockdown, that kind of stuff, and these smart home controls. Okay, so I guess at a high level, my question is the, I think there should be a bigger power button. if you have an iPhone 10, Apple made the power button absolutely huge, because for them it's Siri, it's how you activate Siri now after they get rid of the home button and some other stuff, I believe. I think if Google and Android makers are going to commit to this new format of how to activate so many things, I think they should physically adapt the hardware to that.
I haven't looked at it on other devices, but do other Android, the very small smattering of other Android 11 devices, do they have the same power menu?
They will. It's an open API for any Android maker to use. And if I remember right, it is required, actually, for them to use it in some capacity.
Okay. That's interesting. It feels so pixely.
Yeah, it does feel pixely. And I was building off that. Who controls the design? I feel like something like this, that like, since this is powered by the Google Home app, I would feel like they want to integrate as much as possible the experience of how to control devices. So I don't know how that's going to end up looking, but I think it should be pretty integrated.
Yeah, I think Samsung's going to have a field day with it. With SmartThings and Samsung Pay, they're going to have, not the Note 20, but the S21 or S30 or whatever they try to call it. Man, both of those names are awful.
Galaxy S30 Ultra 5G.
Yeah, that one's, I would say, yes, they're probably going to do the bigger power button just for that sake, but. Yeah, they're going to have a field day with this, and I feel like everyone else is just going to do what Google used it for.
Yeah.
Maybe LG, it would try to do it too. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
oh, God, bad. Actually, I hope LG doesn't. That's something I wanted to talk about this week. I hope Google lets you pick what goes in these different slots. Like, you can choose different services if your phone has multiple services.
In terms of, like, what do you mean by that?
So, like, third-party apps could tie into it. So, like, if you're a Samsung SmartThings user but you use a Pixel,
yes,
you could switch it out. Instead of the Google Home app, you have Samsung SmartThings, or you could have both. That would be great too.
So
if you could just pick for multiple services,
it's got to be possible.
Actually, it's more or less confirmed, because on Developer Preview 4, the UI was slightly different. It had something to the effect of see other apps. Think you could switch. So I'm not sure if Google's going to enforce like the two wide rectangular grid, or I'm curious whether that belongs to the Google Home app, or whether like those tile, everybody, no matter what app you use, is just going to use those tiles, and all you can change is like like the icons or whatever. So I'm curious how much Google is going to enforce design guidelines for device controls.
Well, what I was looking at, and this is just a purely visual observation, but when Google Pay was working, you could see cards and passes and the smart home controls, those were all in one view. So I'm thinking that it's not going to be limited to looking like smart home controls. It's going to be broad enough that they could build something like cards and passes and put it in there. That's my guess from a visual playing with it kind of thing. It looks like it's all together like that.
Yeah, the thing is, you can turn one off and leave the other on. So I think they are separate things.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. I hope. Like, I'm getting some smart things for my house. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to add more stuff to that section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the same time, as you pointed out earlier. So yeah, device controls, that is a big thing that Google is trying to do. That's one of their major tentpoles. And the second half of that are the new music controls.
Love those.
Love those, yeah. So I'm sure you've seen it by now, but the current beta 1 implementation sees the quick settings tile add another row, and to the left, a 3x2 row, and to the left of that are play pause buttons, and forwards and backwards, and whatever you're playing. I really like this design, and I'm not down with the renders that Google showed of just having the same 6x1 quick setting tiles, and then at the bottom you just have a full media control. That looks too much like the current one.
I'll take anything that gets it out of my notification drawer. I don't care what it is. Get it out of my notifications and I'm happy.
What's the primary drive of that? What's your why?
My notifications drawer is my to-do list. that's the long and short of it. I try to use my notifications to like, oh yeah, I need to remember to do that. Or, oh, I need to message so-and-so back. I forgot to do that earlier.
Kyle, are you the one person that snoozes notifications?
Yes.
That is the one feature of Android notifications I've always meant to use and I have never been able to get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I should use it more, but most of the time the notifications just go there to die. One day I swipe them away.
That's the truth, isn't it? But yeah, it's... how about you, Ben? What are your thoughts on the... which design you prefer?
I'm with Kyle. I'm fine where they put it as long as it's not in the notifications, because I think having a persistent spot for it is really nice. The only request I have is that they blend it in a little more. I don't like just how different it looks from the rest of the notification shade. Like because it's adaptive to the album art, when you have dark mode enabled on your device and the album cover pulls black, it looks awesome. Mm-hmm. But when you have light mode enabled and it's a blue album cover, it kind of looks a little off. It's just, I wish they would make it blend in a little bit more in that area, even if it was just matching the accent color you have picked for the device. Right now, it just feels a little just tacked on.
I think that's dependent on the app developer to do, though.
The color theming? Yeah. I think it's still based on the art fundamentally, I think.
Yeah, right? that's an Android system
theming
thing. Wow. And it pulls from the album art automatically. That's why even like YouTube pulls based on the thumbnail of the video.
Yeah, it's in the compact view, in the miniature quick settings view, I just shaking it up is nice. It's maybe I'll get bored of it eventually, but I just, if Google goes with the renders, with the renders they shared on Wednesday, I don't think it's significantly different from having a notification under your quick settings tile. I get the space saving arguments made by the both of you, but at the same time, I think it's it really is compact. It's a more radical change, the one that they're trialing with beta one. But I don't know, would they add a setting to let you choose whether you wanted like a comp 2x2 tile or the 6x1? I don't see them. I see them picking one, sadly, and I don't really know what's going to live.
Like, I have a concept of what I want it to look like in my head, but I have no way to make that even like a concept image. Like in my mind, what I want is when you swipe down once, you get the 6x1, and then you get a small little compact notification with just the song and the media and the play pause or whatever. And then you go down again, and then it moves either to the bottom or to the top, and then you get your cards, and you've got your scrubbing controls, and you've got your play pause skip media track, all of that.
You don't mind like the idea of, again, if we go back to the render, you don't mind it being that tall, because it's the quick settings, quote unquote, they're getting really tall if they go with that design.
I have to look at that render again. I'm not remembering it.
I don't remember the quick settings even being visible in that render. It looked like it was in place of them. I'll have to look at it again.
So maybe I can pull it up. Yeah, it's in the announcement post.
Yeah, it's underneath the 6x1 row.
And yes.
It says YouTube. Yeah, so basically on that one, so you take out where it says YouTube Music. You replace the skip and the skip track buttons. You take those out. You literally just leave play pause, the name, the artist, the album art, and then you pull the device switcher down, and you just make it that, like, it would basically be half the height. That's what would be ideal for me.
Yeah,
and then when you pull down again, you get the rest of that stuff.
Yeah. That would basically be the same height as the 3x2 layout. Yeah, I could see that being quite nice.
I don't think the device switcher is important enough to need to be there in the smallest form factor.
I agree with.
You could switch either way. Just it needs to be half the height that it is in that picture.
I could see that.
It kind of reminds me of super old iOS when they had like a never mind, that's a tangent. I didn't want to talk about it. But okay, so we've talked about the compact design, but how about the pulled down design, where you can have so should media controls be at the very, very top of the screen, or should it be underneath? Where is that design?
I mean, I guess because of the fact that you're pulling down on it, you kind of, from a material standpoint, it makes sense for it to appear at the top. But the best place would be if I could, instead of swiping up to go home, I could swipe up to get to media controls. That'd be really cool. But that's incompatible with Android 10 and onward gesture nav.
I do get the rationale in terms of like having it at the very top does make sense in terms of it's a very common gesture controlling music, so I can see why they would want to double down on that. But again, in terms of the hierarchy, quick settings should be at the very top. Settings.
Period. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Honestly, like, the biggest thing that I don't like is that in the compact form, the media controls are on the left instead of on the right. That's it. That's all I don't like.
I just want them to. I think they'd look better if they were centered.
In the compact form, or
not in the compact form that we see in beta one, but like as in a row underneath.
But
stylistically, it being having it like not centered, I kind of like it too. It it's a natural signal versus tiny dots at the bottom.
Yeah, it's not bad. I feel like it does need, if they're going to keep that compact view though, they need to make it blend in more.
Mm.
At least for the compact view. Like, you can pull down the normal one and then see it as you do now, but I feel like the other one needs to be a little more subtle. That's just my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I can. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, I think we talked music controllers to death. And it's not even the final design. We could be having this discussion for the next two betas and maybe even the final release in terms of how they're going to change it. Because I do think this is like going to be a top three feature in terms of how, in terms of what's most impactful when Android 11 rolls out, for better or worse. This is going to be a headlining feature.
Which is crazy for something that you have to currently enable through a developer option.
Yeah, it's media resumption, and it doesn't even accurately capture the redesigned now playing controls in that name. So yeah, media controls and power and the power device controls, I think that's one and two in terms of major features. Third, bubbles, right? That's going to be a paradigm shifting focus, new focus on people.
When it actually works with something.
When it actually works with something, which Google last night said that messages would be coming in the next beta by the sound of it. So that's promising.
So hot take. I used to be so pro bubble. Like when Facebook did bubbles.
Yeah.
Originally other people did bubbles. Like there's an app called Ninja Chat or something that brought bubbles to text messages.
Oh, I remember that app. And then there was Link Bubble, which was a browser that did that. I remember that one.
Yes.
I don't even remember that.
By Chris Racy, right?
Yeah.
Action launcher guy.
I used to be so pro bubble. Now,
yeah, but yes.
I hate them. I hate them. Hate them so much. They're disruptive. And I don't think that notifications should be given that level of disruption.
So I remember using bubbles when it first came out in Messenger on a Nexus 7. So about that eating to the screen size. But now I kind of think it's yeah, phones are pretty big these days, but those bubbles, they get annoying. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. That you might not realize until you start using them. There are so many. They come in if you're a frequent texter, or you having a conversation, having more than one bubble on screen is very annoying.
I mean, now I haven't seen how it's done, but do bubbles of separate apps, do they kind of merge the way that Facebook's chat heads merge?
I think so.
I would hope so, yeah. That would
at least be something.
That would be something.
Multiple bubbles.
Ugh. Yeah, it's, and then like making sure, picking the right conversation by having to tap from the very top of the screen. It's very, I don't know, it's disruptive in a way, that seems counterintuitive to Google's goal of streamlining and making Android more people-centric, which is their second tentpole today for Android 11. So I don't know if, well, all the apps are going to adopt it. Google is heavily encouraging it, and Facebook Messenger, surprisingly, has shown signs of supporting it in the beta.
It works already, actually.
Ooh, nice.
It works in beta 1. It's the only app that works. Which is hilarious.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know if people are going to like it. They're going to find it a novelty, sure, but I don't know how it sticks as a behavior.
To kind of go back to what you said a minute ago, I feel like it's the opposite of digital well-being.
Yeah. It is disruptive. If you can keep it to one or two people, I think that's the thing that people are going to need to learn, that you need to curate how many bubbles you have, because otherwise it's just very disruptive.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe having VIPs, like 1-2 VIPs. But that's a lot of developer effort for people to have 2 VIPs that they use bubbles for and nothing else.
Yeah. And many of people's apps are going to blend in. They're going to look the same. It's, you know, homogenizing what the different UIs of chat apps, and that's a bit unfortunate in terms of developers never wanting to give up control. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like bubbles are going to be more useful. Like, for people who they message all day long, bubbles are going to be great for messaging. But I also feel like they have a second use for just other kinds of apps, like browsers, social media, all that kind of stuff, where you could use it like that if you want, because technically bubbles are a replacement for another API that was used in Android for things that float over the screen, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yes, you are.
But so it can be used for more than chat apps.
I don't think they've talked about those use cases, though.
They haven't, but they haven't said that. When they first talked about bubbles, they said it's not limited just to chat apps, which I think it opens the door to it being a lot more useful.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at the developer docs, though, it says the bubbles are built into the notification system. So whatever it is that you're
using, it has to be alert.
Notification.
Yeah.
And there's something about people, too, right? It has to be a contact.
I don't remember that.
Under the requirements section?
Must be on a different page.
Never mind. Maybe I'm misthinking to Android 10 days. But yeah, this has been in the works since Android 10, and they, for whatever reason, they finally feel confident enough to do it with Android.
Right.
So yeah, is there anything else in Android 11? That's major.
Oh, the emergency alerts.
Emergency alerts, yes. Which very much ties into the Pixel's emergency app. I forgot the name. The name escapes me.
Personal safety.
Personal safety, yes. Whoa, the thing, the suggestions. Have any of you used the Pixel Laundry suggestions, which is a Pixel feature?
I tried it for about 10 minutes, and it kept suggesting the last app that I opened. So I stopped using it.
It does look pretty with the whole, like, the animation and all that. It looks pretty, but
yeah, no, I love the animation. I love the way that it works. I think the suggestion, it needs a lot of fine tuning, and it's going to require users who want to use it to go in and set up the blocked app list, because a lot of the suggestions are just not going to be useful.
Yeah, and that whole manual setup seems counterintuitive to making Android simpler. Sorry, Kyle.
No, it's just because, like, to me, the Android home screen is to be predictable.
Absolutely.
And you can't predict what's going to be in the bubbles. If I'm going to open an app, then, you know, I love the predictions that are at the top of the Pixel Launcher drawer. Those are very useful to me, but I'm going out of my way to check there and then scroll to the app that I probably want.
I absolutely hate that they got rid of that in the recents view. To make multitasking larger.
Same. I very much agree with that.
I never used it in the recents view, not once.
I used it all the time because I actually found it very accurate.
Yeah, same.
I was excited for the suggestions to come because, like, I have a camera icon on my home screen, which I never really use because I just use the double tap on the power button. So I was like, okay, I'll just leave that spot open and let it do suggestions. But my biggest issue is it just keeps suggesting apps that are already on the same screen.
Which is like,
I just took camera off and now it's suggesting, oh, you probably want to open Gmail when Gmail is right above it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I'd hope. That's hope.
Yeah. I think it needs to be at least smart enough to say, you have this app in view. I'm not going to show it to you. That's all I would want. Is really, if they can just, you know, fine tune it to the point where it's not showing me an app that's already there, then I'm good. But right now it's just,
yeah,
it's just a repetitive icon most of the time.
And this is 100% a Pixel launcher feature for Pixel devices. I don't know what the how they're going to scale that to other OEMs. I guess they're going to give OEMs the same ability to integrate, but right now it seems so focused on Google's devices.
It seems like it would just be a launcher feature. It seems like any other launcher could be able to implement this if they wanted to.
I was thinking if it could be a widget and you end up placing, but you can't place widgets in your dock, so that defeats the purpose. So yeah, let's see, Android 11. Yeah, that is beta 1 at a high level. We have, as I said earlier, we have two more down the road before the final release in Q3. If they don't add another release. usually by the... everything is finalized. I just cut off, I think.
Yep.
But I think we're going to the in terms of how big these next two betas are. I think we're going to come to the very end in terms of what they change. Because, these, unless they finalize the now playing the media control behavior by beta 2, we're going to see refinement until the very end.
Yeah, just refinements. I think we're pretty well settled as far as new features go.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess what I am mostly talking about is the music, about how they do now playing controls. So yeah, until next month, hopefully sooner than later, and beta 2, Android 11 beta 2. So till then, this week, the other thing that Google did was they really stepped up the Pixel Buds. They talked about the issues. It started with a survey that they sent, that they looked to send out to owners who had it day one, who bought the Ben, did you get the survey?
I did not get the survey.
Interesting.
I got it, but I didn't actually take it. Oops. I got it a good day or two after you did, though.
Oh, nice. Great. So yeah. So they did that, and then that same afternoon, they officially talked about, they acknowledged the issues, a Google employee acknowledged issues, the Bluetooth connectivity issues specifically, about reports of people turning their head and losing connection outdoors. So you two have experienced this. I have not, actually.
Yeah, I get this every single day when I walk my dog. When I'm inside, they're running completely fine, no issues. As soon as I get down the stairs, they start cutting out, and when I move my head and when I walk my hands around and stuff like that. It's very annoying.
Yeah, if I'm walking downstairs, I'll be listening to music, and then if I turn my head 90 degrees to the right, the audio cut out usually. If I turn 90 degrees away from whatever pocket my phone is in.
It's why outdoors? I threw that question earlier, but I don't get why it happens outdoors.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I would think that inside is so much more of a difficult connectivity signals environment, but I've had no issues inside indoors. It's very strange.
Yeah, because I can walk halfway across the house just fine with without my phone. I can just walk halfway across the house and it's totally fine. But outside, if I get more than 4 feet away, I'm doomed.
It's not even a distance thing for me. I have the phone in my pocket.
Right.
And it's just constantly happening. It's mind-boggling.
That's unfortunate.
I wouldn't describe mine as constant. So maybe your mileage may vary.
Yeah, it's. I can say constant, but I can't say like. It's constant for a few minutes, and then it smooths out, and then it comes back, and then it smooths out, and then it comes back. So it's happening every time. I should say it's consistent, not constant.
So yeah, Google, they basically acknowledge. Out, sorry, but they said they promise a series of fixes over the next coming weeks. The first one, which is not really connected to Bluetooth, is the static thing, firmware 2.9.6, and I just got the update, so I can't really tell if the static's gone. How about you two?
I never noticed it in the first place, but I'm terrible about that kind of thing.
I have not. I tried to listen to it and I could still hear it, but after the first like 2 days using the Pixel Buds, I forgot and could not hear the static anyway. So I don't know. This just felt like Google was just listening to some of the louder reviewers who had a serious issue with this when it wasn't really that big of an issue in the first place.
I could see there being audiophiles that have strong opinions about this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that's what Pixel Buds are made for.
True.
But my big counter is that do you experience this degree of buzzing in other other Bluetooth headphones? Yeah.
I have never noticed it in any others.
Yeah, that is a curious thing.
I'm sorry, it's not related to something. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, no. AirPods. I've never had this issue, and I immediately note when nothing is playing, you hear it just before something starts or something stops, you do hear the buzzing, and it's unexpected. It's the annoying thing is that it's unexpected. You don't expect to hear random buzzing going in and out of your ear.
I must not have heard what you guys are talking about because that doesn't sound familiar in the slightest.
Especially when it's when it's pitch quiet, you don't hear. Huh, interesting.
I can't say mine's ever been that strong. Even when I notice it, like I have to sit and concentrate to notice it. It's not a, you know, I'm sitting here, oh, the music, it's skipping to the next song. Oh, there's the buzzing again. That's not what's happening for me. It's just it's a faint little hiss if I really listen for it, which I can't think, but I also can't. I mean, I've also never tried to check to see if other earbuds have that because it's not something you just notice.
I think the important qualifier here is what your surrounding environments are like. You'll never notice it outdoors, but like at night, especially when things are a bit quiet, I do hear it consistently. I think the environment for some people, especially with all these reviewers looked at these headphones indoors, in houses, in apartments, and it might have been a bit more obvious. So that could be one reason why it's more obvious to some than others.
Oh yeah, maybe caused by Bluetooth interference. I see what you're saying.
So yeah, that's firmware 2.9.6, which if you do the dance of updating Pixel Pods, you can get it right now.
Pixel Pods.
What did I say?
You said Pixel Pods.
Pixel Pods. That's a new one. That's a new one.
It's like the OnePlus Pods.
Those look like AirPods. Those are egregious.
I can't believe they're going to call them OnePlus Pods. At least Buds was like, you're trying to distance yourself a little bit.
Yeah, Pods is 1,000% in people's minds, a thing in your ear with a stem coming down. And
that was an Apple creation. Apple called things pods. I don't think anybody called any sort of ear equipment a pod until the ear pods, the old, you know, 3.5 millimeter ear pods came out.
Yeah, it's insane.
I can't even think of there are a million and two AirPods ripoffs. I can't think of a single one from like any notable brand that uses the word pods, except for Mob Boy's Tic Pods.
I was just about to say the Tic Pods.
But those are, I mean, okay, those are literally designed to be ripoffs.
Yeah.
They were always designed to be ripoffs.
Yes.
I'm sure no one else uses them.
What's that? The case. Then you have the case, which is...
At least Mob Void changed the case.
Yeah, this is... No, Mob Void, the vines are so much different. It's they're going for sharp vines and not aesthetic. It's a specific aesthetic they're going with. It's different. But the OnePlus pods, they are AirPods, and then the case is the same shape, basically the same shape. It's insane.
Also, they're going to be white. Mob Void, I say it's a direct ripoff. It still is, but at least they made them blue.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's upsetting. Honestly, they're very upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tangent. But yes, the other things that Google is going to fix with the Pixel Pods, decrease instances of phone call cutouts, improved auto recovery when one or both earbuds lose connection, improve media playback stability for phones that have software audio encoding. I do not experience any of those issues.
Same.
I've experienced the disconnect of one before, but that was...
I did have that happen once.
I tried to pair mine to my Chromebook, and it went terribly. And then I tried to go back to my phone, and only one pod connected. It would show both when they're in the case. And then I'd take one out and it would not get recognized anymore. Or it would still register as being in the case, and I'd take the other one out and it would only recognize that one. I had to unpair and start from scratch. It was very frustrating.
One does wonder why they didn't fix this in the 6 month period when this came between announcement and product and shipping. That's a weird thing that didn't happen.
Or try and fix Chrome OS to be better with Pixel Pods, as we call them now.
Pixel Pods, yeah, I saw the thing.
There is one thing. How didn't they announce that Fast Pair was gonna be a thing for Chromebooks?
Yeah, and
I thought it is a thing.
It's not.
I thought it already was a thing.
That's the weird. Auto recognition thing isn't there yet.
Not that I have ever experienced.
That's baffling.
I thought it was already there. I might have to try that with my Sonys later.
Yeah. And another thing is find my device. That should be coming in whenever it comes.
One day,
yeah. But yeah, that's the Pixel.
One day is...
Google is listening to people. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's the Pixel Buds. Good on Google for listening to people. And Stadia. Thursday, right? Yes, that was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The Stadia news. So, briefly, any Android phone can now use Stadia with a new experiment section, including the ones that aren't on the official list of, I guess, certified devices that they specifically fine-tuned. There are now touch controls, touch overlay controls, something that Kyle spotted in an early APK insights. Per device resolution controls, including on the web, finally. And everybody got a $10 discount on your next purchase.
I'm really impressed. All of these things all showed up in across two different teardowns of the app. I'm really impressed with how quickly they were able to ship these.
Yeah. And so has anybody had the chance to use the touch controls yet?
No, they hadn't rolled to my device when I checked, but that was like an hour after the news dropped. So
mm-hmm.
I have not, and I don't plan to, because that sounds like a horrible idea. I tried that on GeForce Now, and I could not do it.
Yeah, I remember trying the GeForce. I think I tried the Touch Stadia, you know, the third-party one.
Yeah.
And that, obviously that was not a good idea for Borderlands, but I may give it a try now that Sundered and actual 2D games are available.
I guess it would be good for those.
Yeah, I play PUBG on the mobile PUBG using those touch controls all the time. They're fine.
When the game is made for it, it's great. But when you're emulating a controller, that's never seems like a good idea.
That's true. That's very true.
It'd be great for our Monopoly games.
That is true.
But I don't know why we just don't play the Android app. It's the same experience.
Because Stadia.
Why? Yeah. The visuals do nothing. We could just use the Android app and we can actually touch instead of using those insane controls where we end up giving each other money for no reason during trades. It's insane.
Because Stadia.
No. Stadia on mobile. Okay. Monopoly on Stadia does not make sense. It does not.
Okay, to be fair, I play it on my Pixelbook next to my regular computer, so.
Yeah, it's... You some of those you that is a platform so much better served by touch, and on I don't even know. Okay, while we're on this tangent, why is Monopoly a console game?
Because money.
Yeah, because money. Yeah, they want it to be available on any console that you want to play it on.
But the graphics are bad. They're just stupid 3D graphics of like zooming and moving on. It's dumb.
I mean, the boards look nice. The haunted board is really cool. The city board is nice.
I mean, no one should ever spend the $60 they usually charge for it, but...
I think it's $40 and it was on sale for like $10 or $5 or something.
When you
like
can
that.
Get it for $10, it's worth it. I think I bought one of them for my Switch. Like, it is worth it just to have it for like having friends over, you know, when that's a thing again.
Yeah.
Oh, you could have a real board, which I have, a Star Trek one.
Yeah, but then somebody's got to count all the money. You got to figure out, you got to make sure you don't lose all the pieces.
The fun pit.
Your friends can't cheat.
That's the fun part.
Cheating? Good to know. I've been checking out.
You did make an entire version of Monopoly just for cheating.
Of like the banking.
The point of the game is to cheat.
Yeah, and hiding money and that kind of stuff and swiping. That's a part of the fun.
IO is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
You have to guard my wallet.
I just imagine you walking around Google IO with a wallet full of Monopoly money and like Abner stole like $20 out of your wallet or something. Like
I feel like we have to make this picture now.
Yeah.
we probably do. Okay, so yeah. Getting back on topic, what were the unofficial announcements and how do you get Stadia on your Android TV?
Yeah, so that was the biggest thing, and it was good timing because I feel like I've seen more comments and tweets in the past week of people annoyed that Stadia is not on Android TV, and because it's now experimental, it works on any Android device, which includes Android TV, but because in the latest update, they changed the login method so that way it works with Android TV's handling of Google accounts. You can now install and run and actually play games on the Stadia app on Android TV. Previously, you couldn't log in because it was trying to pull the same interface that it does on your Android phone, which doesn't work. It will not pull up on Android TV. But now with this latest version, it works properly. You can log in. You can even set up an account from scratch if you need to. But yeah, you could, as long as you just need a mouse and a game controller. And the mouse is because the remote cannot get to those touch targets. But if you have the mouse, you can get the games running and it plays really well. Like I was playing it on Google's ADT3 Android TV developer dongle. Which a lot of apps are kind of messy with that one just because it's running newer versions and all that stuff, but it ran flawlessly. Like I didn't even have input lag and I was using a Bluetooth controller.
Man.
Yeah, I was shocked how well it, like, all they have to do is design an interface, like just take the Chromecast UI and slap it into the Android app, and they would have Stadia for Android TV done.
They need pairing too, which is on the way, but it's still
for in, the
for Android,
for the Chromecast Ultra, for the Stadia controller.
Yeah, they would need the
Wi-Fi. Yeah, but even then, just enabling it for Bluetooth would be great. And like I said, it works so well. Like, I haven't had a chance to try it anything else, but it worked way better than I ever thought it would.
Yeah, that's because they're actively working on making it work. This is months of effort. It's not like, oh, we just happen to try it now that, you know, now that any Android can work. Well, wonder if it works on Android TV. The Google Stadia team has been putting effort in to make an official Stadia app. We're just kind of jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I mean that's all there is to say about it. It's great if you have the time to get it running.
Yeah, takes a minute, more than a minute. So, I think most people wanted Stadia on their Android on their non-official list of Android devices. So, what's next for the platform?
iOS would be great.
They'll have to pay the cut. I don't see any way around it, and console titles are expensive, so Apple is getting a big cut.
I don't know if they're going to do it.
Would they have to pay the cut if you bought the games from another device?
No, because I think the whole point is that if you use in-app purchases, you need to pay the cut. But if you're not using in-app purchases, you can't be buying something that you're going to use on the device. I thought it was something along those lines.
Google Play Movies doesn't allow or didn't allow purchases on iOS for the longest time, but you could still buy from other platforms and then use the app.
Yeah, that would probably be the way if they were to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now that would be, if they were to do that, now they would be losing features, because right now the app does let you buy things.
Yeah. I think people would do the trade-off for that though.
Yeah,
but it's the, are the money people going to be fine with that? That's the question there. So yeah, iOS is a big thing. iPads, it would be so great on iPads whenever that happens.
Yeah, that would be great.
That and then YouTube streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the...
Yes.
That's the white whale right now.
Yeah, they need to do that really quick.
Yeah, it's surprising
how long it's taken for them
right now. In terms,
they really should have had it by now. Like, all signs are pointing to it should have been here. You know, like it's there's code for it in most of the apps.
Same with the Stadia controller. So many people have used desktop on the Android phones. They've used the desktop. They've loaded Stadia on the Chrome desktop and using the Stadia controller. I think that's a low-hanging piece of fruit there, too.
Wait, what do you mean?
The Stadia controller.
What about it?
You can use it on Android if you use Stadia.com.
Oh.
Yeah. The hackiest of things.
It's crazy that you can't do it through the... Wow.
The hackiest of hacks.
Why haven't I done that? I should do that. The only reason I don't play Stadia on my phone anymore is because my USB port's going out.
Ooh, ouch. Yes. Like we said earlier, $10 off any game, which is an interesting promo for Google to run.
Game or bundle that includes a base game.
Yes. So do you want to talk about Destiny?
Yes. So this week, I am keenly excited because Bungie announced the next 3 years worth of Destiny 2 content. And the first pack is Destiny 2 Beyond Light. And on Stadia, how it works is that Destiny, the base game, is included, or sorry, Destiny 2, the base game, is included for free with any content pack purchase. Doesn't matter which one it is.
Oh.
So, and you don't have to buy or play the DLCs in order, or even own all of them. You can just own the newest ones. You could buy Destiny 2 Beyond Light using this $10 discount, get the base game, play it, and enjoy it until September, and then enjoy the new expansion. I'm excited.
It was a semi pre-order kind of situation, which is
interesting. Yeah. Yes. Because that. Thank you. It was the Destiny 2 Beyond Light is the first thing that's on Stadia that is available for pre-order, but it's not really a pre-order because you're paying for it all up front right now, but you don't get the content until September. But you are getting something today.
Yeah. And I think you. Like a character skin or something? No?
Say that again? Like that?
Didn't they give like a bonus something?
They included a new emote, so which is like a Fortnite dance, basically. And I want to say a new ghost if you pre-order.
So you're getting something. And the
base game, yeah. I intend on using my $10 pre-order, or my $10 discount to pick that up.
Nice. So yeah, those are three big things for the week. It's been a bit of a big, busy week, but until next week, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast usually on Thursdays and publish Friday morning. This week was an exception. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and you can listen on our site at 9to5google.com if you wish. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Kyle and Ben, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.